You're listening to the Newsmakers Podcast from MLB.com.
This is the Rocket, Bill Latson. Welcome to Newsmakers. We have Rays outfielder Denard Span and MLB.com's Richard Justice on the show. And guess who's been working in the laboratory this offseason? Yes, Cardinals shortstop Paul DeJong with Dr. Lawrence Rocks. They're trying to mix sports science with baseball. We start with Denard Span, who was honest about his two seasons with the Giants. On the phone is one of the good guys in baseball. His name is Denard Span. He's the outfielder for the Rays. Denard, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Bill.
Denard, I got to ask you my first obvious question. What was your reaction when you heard you were being traded to the Rays for Evan Longoria? The good news is that Tampa's home for you, so it had to be good news.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a little, I had some mixed feelings, you know. We had a rough season last year in San Francisco, and, you know, to start the off season, you know, I was motivated and just trying to get myself ready to go to help the San Francisco Giants, you know, rewrite a terrible season. So, when I first heard I was traded, you know, that kind of threw me for a loop. But when I found out it was Tampa Bay, of course, you know, quite naturally I got excited because this is where I'm from. Just awesome and kind of like a dream come true to get an opportunity to play home.
Yeah. Now talk about the last year with the Giants. Now you said it was pretty bad. Your season wasn't too bad, but what went wrong there?
I would say everything went wrong, to be honest. You know, anytime you lose 98 games, you know, I think everything went wrong. You can try to point your finger, you know, at one thing, which, you know, I've read a lot of stuff. They said the outfield defense was bad. They said this was bad, this was bad. Everything was bad. You know, you don't lose 98 games without it being from top to bottom, you know, everybody coming up short. And it was just a bad thing, bad season. But that doesn't define the character of our team, because, you know, we went out there and, you know, gave good effort, I feel. But things just didn't click.
Now you're in Tampa now, and you're reunited with Wilson Ramos and Steven Souza. What do you think about being reunited with them?
I'm excited, man. You know, I had some good times in D.C., and, you know, just can't wait to reunite with those guys and reminisce. And I know those guys really well. I know their DNA, their makeup, as far as just being good ball players and grinders. And so, you know, I'm just looking forward to being teammates with those guys once again.
Now, you had hip surgery before going to the Giants. What is your health right now? How are you feeling?
Oh, man, I feel like I'm 29. I'm 33, about to be 34, but I feel like I'm 29. That might not sound too young to a lot of people in baseball, but that 29, 30 years old, that was a good age for me. And, you know, I feel good, man. This is the best offseason I've had since having my surgery. And, you know, I've been able to attack the offseason, just being aggressive. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what I can do this upcoming season.
Denard, were you totally 100% your 2 years in San Francisco?
No. For sure, year one I was not. I showed up to spring training six months post-surgery. So that whole season was like swimming uphill, taking a lot of anti-inflammatories. Then when that season ended, getting off the anti-inflammatories, my body felt like I got hit by a bus.
No kidding.
Because I played through so much and I masked a lot of pain. And, you know, kind of had a short off season because we made it to the playoffs that year, even though we didn't get out of the first round. I still kind of, you know, it was a little cautious in my training. A lot of people don't know, you know, when you have injuries, man, like psychologically it does something to you. And like I said, that's why I said this is the first off season where, you know, I'm trusting my body. You know, I'm pushing it to the envelope a little bit and getting aggressive with a lot of things that we're doing. So I'm doing this off season.
Denard, I remember so well when you had the hip surgery, everyone was saying that you weren't coming back until June of 2016.
16?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, why did you come back so quickly? And you didn't miss many games the last 2 years.
No. I mean, you know, I just, you know, I followed the doctor's orders, you know what I mean? And you know, the Giants, you know, I just signed a new contract. So I was, you know, doing everything I could, you know, under my power to make sure I was ready, which I was healthy, mm-hmm. but I wasn't, you know, a Denard Span, quote unquote, right. healthy. You know what I mean? Where I've been accustomed to, you know, people watching me play, you know, allowing my athletic ability to shine, you know, taking extra bases and, you know, being aggressive. Like, I wasn't ready for that. You know what I mean? But I was ready to be on the field. But, you know, I'm realizing now after, you know, two mediocre years that, you know, me being on the field, that's not enough. I have to be able to be dynamic, and that's what I'm, you know, that's what I've always been able to bring to a ball club is my athletic ability and my energy. If I don't have that, then, you know, I might as well be on the couch, to be honest.
Right. What are your goals for this year in terms of individual goals like stats and whatnot?
You know what, man? You know, you've known me for quite a bit. You know, all those accolades as far as, you know, gold gloves, you know, there's years when I thought I should have won it, you know, and I didn't. So, you know, my energy is not towards, you know, those, you know, the way I look at it, man-made, accolades. You know, I have to challenge myself. You know, I look at my last best year was 2014. So, mm-hmm. you know, my challenge to myself is to do better than I did or do just as good as I did in 2014. And, you know, just remind not myself, because I know what I can do. I know what I'm made of, but remind, you know, some others that, you know, Denard Span can still play this game.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember you should have won at least two gold gloves. You were robbed, I must say. Denard, yeah. It's been quite a year for you. Not just on the field, but off the field. You married, Ann Schlepper. And then you and Ann Schlepper, by the way, is a hockey player. And you also, your son came along. His name is DJ. And I got to tell you, he looks just like you. And how much has they improved your world?
Oh, my God, man. It's just, honestly, it's put things just in better perspective. You know, obviously, you know, baseball is, you know, my love for baseball is unbelievable. You know, I've been playing this game since 5 years old, but, you know, and I'm going to always play the game hard as long as I have a uniform on. But since having, you know, since being married and since having a son, you know, baseball, to be honest with you, has kind of, you know, gone down the, taking a few notches down the totem pole. At the end of the day, you know, baseball is what I do. It's not who I am, you know, but who I am is, you know, a man of God. And I'm a husband, and now I'm a father. So those things trump baseball, and you know, just a different feeling that you know having a son gives you as a man. Just knowing that, you know, you're responsible for a young man, and I have the opportunity to help mold him and grow up to be hopefully, you know, an unbelievable guy.
DJ seems to loves to be in front of the camera. What do you think?
Why you say that?
Yeah, well, because he smiles quite a bit, and he seems to enjoy.
Yeah, he definitely has. I think he definitely has his mom's charisma. She loves a smile. That's something that's funny. That's something she prayed for was a happy smile, a smiling baby. And whenever I put him on my Instagram stories and all that stuff, he's always. It's almost like he can tell that, you know, we're filming, and he normally gives us something. Something good, some good material.
Denard, you not only live in Tampa, but you do a lot for the community. Could you tell everybody what you do in Tampa?
Yeah, I have a foundation. Me and my wife have a foundation that is geared towards helping, you know, single mother families. I grew up, my brother and I, we grew up being raised by, you know, by my mom. And I remember being a kid not realizing, you know, what all went into, you know, what she had to do. And now being an adult, I see, you know, how difficult it was for her. And you know, that it you see it so much in today's society where, you know, only one parent is usually the mother that is having to play mother and father. So our organization, you know, we just want to try to help, you know, educate these women, encourage these women, and just give these women hope that, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, if you just stay the course that, you know, that you could still make an impact in your kids' lives.
Denard Span, listen, it's great to have you on the show, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah, anytime, Bill.
My next guest is MLB.com's Richard Justice, who talks about the clubs who are set to rebound into contention. On the phone, is one of the best writers in baseball. His name is Richard Justice of MLB.com. Richard, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Richard, you wrote an interesting story. It's called Five Clubs Set to Rebound into Contention. And the five clubs are very interesting. You have the Giants, Mets, Angels, Cardinals, Blue Jays. Let's start with the Giants. Obviously, they made a lot of moves with Andrew McCutchen and Evan Longoria. What do you think about that team?
You know, Fangraphs has them improving by 20 games. Now, they lost 98 last year, so it was an easy improvement. But they were going to improve in a big, big way, even before getting Evan Longoria and then making the move this week to trade for Andrew McCutchen. And that's because, look, Johnny Cueto had a bad spring. I mean, a bad season. Began with his dad getting sick. Madison Bumgarner got hurt. Brandon Bell had a bad year. Hunter Pence got hurt, had a bad year. And so I think just the normal, logical getting back to where they are, that was going to be a big improvement. And then getting these two really franchise icons from other franchises helps them their lineup. You know, the Padres scored fewer runs. Their lineup's going to be a lot deeper. And the question now is who's going to play center field. You know, does that mean they're going to go trade for Billy Hamilton, try to sign Jerod Dyson? I think Lorenzo Cain is probably out of their price range, but, you know, it is mid-January now, and prices start to go down at this point. So we'll see. But they haven't caught the Dodgers, Bill. Mm-hmm. But I think they may have passed the Rockies and Diamondbacks, and they're in the mix. Fangraphs projected standings has the Cardinals hosting the Giants in the NL wildcard game. And that's a lot. That's a long way from losing 98 games.
Yeah. Do you see them, the Giants, getting maybe another pitcher, a starter, maybe another bullpen guy?
Yeah, I have questions about the back of the rotation. And I think there's been those questions. You know, they traded Matt Moore to Texas. But I think they had to take care of the basic things first. They had nothing at third base. They needed two outfielders. They've now gotten one. And what they need, I think, more than a pitcher, although they probably need a pitcher, and I don't know where you go get a starting pitcher at this point, because the four guys available, Arrieta, Darvish, Lance Lynn, and Alex Cobb, would push them past the luxury tax threshold. They're at about 190, 192. It's not a mandate to be under that, but you know, you would like to be under that. But I think they feel like, just given the nature of the ballpark and everything, you got to have somebody that can go run down the ball in center field. And I think that's the first priority. And then, you know, we'll see what they do with the pitching.
The Mets. The Mets, I like their moves. They picked up Jay Bruce and Adrian Gonzalez. They could improve offensively, but, you know, pitching-wise, you still have to look at that. But talk about how they could improve.
Yeah, they could improve just by keeping Syndergaard and Mats and DeGrom on the field. That's a big improvement. I think their most important move over the offseason was bringing Mickey Callaway in. And we'll see, you know, Mickey Callaway's history, he's a manager now. His history as a pitching coach right. in Cleveland was a great, great communication with pitchers, great idea of how to develop pitchers. So to me, that means we're going to find out a lot about Matt Harvey this year. Can Matt Harvey be what we once thought he would be, or even close to what we once thought he would be? Gone through a lot the last 3 years. And if Mickey Callaway can't get it out of him, I would say Matt probably needs to take a look in the mirror. But let's say Matt Harvey's productive. Then you've got a front four of your rotation, not even talking about, you know, Gesselman and those guys at the back. If you've got a front four like that, you can play with anybody.
No question. The Angels, they picked up Zach Hozar and Ian Kinsler. I like those moves. What do you think about the Angels?
I think they got it. Their key is Garrett Richards, Matt Shoemaker, Tyler Skaggs, those guys, and also Andrew Haney. Those guys, I think, made 61 starts last year. If you can get 100 starts out of those guys, you're going to the postseason. And their offense, you know, you and I have talked before. Last year was Mike Socia's finest hour. He had to make up the lineup, a new lineup every day. It was amazing that they stayed in contention. But now you re-sign Justin Upton. You get Cozar to play third. Kinsler to play second. I think your offense is deeper, hoping for a healthy Mike Trout. But your defense, I mean, when you have Martin Maldonado behind the plate, mm-hmm. Anderson Simmons at short, Kinsler and Cozart and Trout in center and Upton in left, That's a great defensive team. So, yeah, I love them. And I think, you know, all of us want to see Mike Trout on the biggest stage in October.
What about Socia? His contract is about to expire after 2018. I mean, do you see him there for the long term?
He's got a great relationship with the general manager, Billy Epler. That wasn't always true. The general manager's there. And I think he's got a great relationship with Artie Moreno, the owner. Mike Socia is one of the great managers of our generation. He's smart. I feel like it was like when I'm an older guy, when I was around Gene Mauch or Dick Williams or that group of guys, mm-hmm. that you feel like you're talking to a professor and that you talk to Mike Socia about the game and you learn something every time.
That's true. The Cardinals, they picked up Marcell Ozuna. Nice move there. And the Cardinals could be back in contention. Talk about that.
Yeah. They just need, you know, maybe some question about third base with Jed Jerko. Questions about the ninth inning. It's going to be Luke Gregerson at the beginning, maybe Alex Reyes by midseason if everything goes well. But Ozuna gives them that bat in the middle of the lineup. And, you know, really the transition to this team began last year. Tommy Pham has earned the right to play. Paul DeJong is now the shortstop. It's a different team than it was a year ago. And they've made up a lot of ground on the Cubs. The Cubs are not finished yet. But nothing like finishing behind your division rival 2 years in a row to get the boys going again. And they still could, you know, they've tried to trade for Josh Donaldson. They're interested in Manny Machado. I thought they were going to trade for a closer, but John Mozeliak says pretty much they're done with their big moves now at this point. We'll see about that. But if they're done, they're still going to be they're in the mix.
The Blue Jays, that's the last team. It seems like it's a matter of staying healthy. They lost a lot of people to injuries last year. Talk about that.
They just need to keep the left side of the infield, Tulowitzki and Josh Donaldson on the field. They still need bats in left field and right field.
Mm-hmm.
But if Aaron Sanchez is healthy, that's a good rotation with Happ and Marco Estrada. And that's a really good rotation. And it's the big boy division. And I don't know that they've passed the Red Sox and Yankees, but I would say don't overlook them. And, you know, the fact is, when they didn't trade Josh Donaldson, mm-hmm. it was a sign that we're going to try to do this one more time, keep this group together, and we think it's good enough. And the key really is just going to be that pitching, and it begins with Aaron Sanchez.
I know it was somewhat of a discount, but were you shocked that they signed Granderson? Because he had a bad year last year.
Yeah, he did. He's had a couple of bad years, but he's still a very productive player against right-handed pitching. The part I didn't understand is, okay, what's the role here? A platoon with Steve Pierce makes the most sense, but Pierce sort of has weird reverse splits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I do trust Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins. They know what they're doing. They've got a lot of history of doing the right thing. I think they need one more guy. Are you going to give it to Teoscar Hernandez? They have two of the great prospects in the game in Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Dante Bochette. So, and I don't think either of those guys will be in the big leagues in 2018. But I guess my message to Toronto fans is future's in pretty good shape.
Richard Justice, listen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
My final guests are Paul DeJong and his teacher, Dr. Lawrence Rocks. They have been working in the lab this offseason, and they're trying to mix sports science with baseball.
On the phone is Dr. Lawrence Rocks. He's most famous for the book, The Energy Crisis, and also Cardinals shortstop Paul DeJong. And both people were in the laboratory this offseason. They spent a lot of time there, and starting with Dr. Rocks, tell me what you and Paul were doing in the laboratory.
Well, we tested the bounce of a baseball, its elasticity, as a function of temperature. It's not very elastic at low temperature. It's best at approximately room temperature, and at higher temperatures, it loses elasticity because of the nature of the elastomeres in the covering of the ball.
And talk about how this helps baseball in the future.
Well, there may be a time when baseballs may be put in a humidor to control humidity and temperature. But we also investigated with slow motion photography the bounce of a ball with respect to its stitches. See, how a ball is hit on the stitches or a sweet spot will determine how it spins. And I think an area of research should be telescopic slow motion photography to see exactly how striking a ball off the stitches or on the stitches affects its spin and how it bounces on the ground or curves in the air.
Paul, talk about how these techniques help you on the field, if any.
I don't think it helps me on the field necessarily because these are the things we can't control, but I think it's fun in the off season to get in the lab with Dr. Rocks and maybe ask these questions that people might not ask. So, you know, it's always fun to do a little science experiment.
Now, Dr. Rocks, this is supposed to, help analytics in the future. I mean, how is this supposed to help analytics?
Well, what we're trying to do is interest students in the method called science with simple experiments like the bounce of a baseball and elasticity, which brings one to tendons. See, the baseball is a simple experiment, but there are more sophisticated experiments that need to be done on tendons, their elasticity and their growth and replacement rate, because most injuries occur in tendons or joints for athletes. And this is going to be a tough area to investigate. There are some new devices coming on the market, like handheld ultrasound, which may or may not shed light on how one should train to develop tendon strength and flexibility. But the baseball skin and tendons, they all come under the classification of elastomeres. And I'd like to get deeper into the flexibility of elastomeres, and especially with respect to tendons. In other words, what is the best training program for them?
Dr. Rocks, how is Paul as a student in the laboratory?
Oh, he's terrific. He's a lot of fun. Got a good sense of humor, too.
Paul, what aspects in your game are you looking to improve this year? And tell me, what are you looking to do?
Yeah, I thought I had a decent season last year in the big leagues, enough sample size to show what I can do. So this year it's about repeating that. But as far as specifics, I would say better defender at shortstop, better base runner, and get on base more and continue to hit for power. So if I can do all those things, it'll be a solid year and Cardinals are going to win some games.
What do the Cardinals need to improve as far as next year? You guys missed the playoffs again, and I'm sure you want to go to the World Series next year.
Yeah, I think we just need to win tight games in our division especially. I think we did pretty well outside the division, but just couldn't beat the Cubs and Milwaukee towards the end. So this year I think if we just win those tight games, we'll be right where we need to be.
Paul, you are proving that there's more to life than baseball. Do you plan to be a scientist in the future?
I don't know, but Dr. Rocks is inspiring me a little bit. I always like the chemistry and learning, so I'm hoping it's a lifelong experience for me, and that maybe I can continue to do some of these simple chemistry experiments with the help of Dr. Rocks, of course.
Dr. Rocks, why did you decide to put your name in baseball? Why'd you do this?
Well, it's an aspect of chemistry that's interested me for a long time. The body tissues develop at different rates, like brain tissue mature early, heart tissue very early, fat cells, muscle cells, tendons mature early. But skeletal muscle can develop later in life. And my feeling is that skeletal muscle is more quickly developed than tendon strength. And I think that's what's causing injuries in baseball. Fellows go into the gym, they lift weights, they build up 30% more skeletal muscle, but the tendons aren't 30% stronger. To make a joke out of it, their teeth aren't 30% bigger. The different tissues in the body grow at different rates and they heal at different rates. And the problem, I think, is that muscles are more quickly developed than tendon and joint strength.
By next year, Dr. Rocks, what do you expect to accomplish in terms of the baseball aspect of science?
Well, I've coined the phrase sports chemistry, and basically what I would like to do is develop a system of looking at the growth rate of muscle cells, skeletal muscles, different parts of the body, tendons, there are different tendons in the body, some 240, joints, how they develop. The carbohydrate chemistry of joints is different than the protein chemistry of skeletal muscles, and take a deeper look at this so that athletes can prepare better at different stages of life. See, it's obvious that a 5-year-old and an 85-year-old shouldn't be doing the same exercises. But the question is, at a more subtle level, what programs should athletes be following at different stages of life?
Okay, Paul DeYoung and Dr. Lawrence Rocks, listen, thank you so much. It was an honor to have you guys on the show.
Oh, Bill, thank you so much.
Take care.